You know, with all the rain we've been seeing over the last 2 or 3 weeks, it really some of the output is really shocking. I mean, these signs of waste actually coming up out of manhole covers and people being flooded out. I mean, how can that happen? Well, the fact is there may well be a way combining weather forecasts and the internet, believe it or not, and existing stormwater facilities to avoid a lot of that flooding. That's what Marcus Quigley's been working on. He is by design a civil engineer, but he's the CEO and founder of a company called Optic RTC that's based in Boston, and he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you, Davey. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. So the idea here is, as I understand it, is that you have a system that looks at long-range weather forecasts for an area, and then you go ahead with valves and the internet and sort of empty some of the big storage facilities that hold water to make room for new water that's going to come in. Is that too simplistic?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good description. We're a company that's focused on taking the existing components of urban environments and making them function better from a flood control perspective. It also works for new construction as well. But you can think about when you drive around any urban area that there are many places that you see that water is stored. Typically, in an industrial park, you might see a small pond. Those ponds are part of a complex network we use to control flows in urban areas. And what we're able to do is take those existing facilities and add technology, as you described, that monitors their status and is able to control their function and do so with information about what is going to happen with the weather in the future. And it makes all the difference from a flooding perspective.
You know, the fascinating thing is going back to weather forecasting, we used to make fun of it all the time, but the fact is, what I've seen over the last several years is just incredibly specific weather forecasts that have nailed it, whether it's hot weather or snow, or in this case, we knew for 10 days that we were going to have 2 weeks worth of rain that would defy what weather normally is during the month of October, you know, in the state of Texas. So I guess you know that. Now, we also have these major facilities that are used to hold water, that's used for irrigation or for runoff. But I gather you go in when you find out it's going to rain, you have the ability to go in and empty those out to make room for more.
Yes, that's right. You know, on the first part of that question, it's pretty funny the reactions we get when people hear that we're controlling things using the forecast. And, you know, at first people are skeptical. The interesting thing about weather information is that it's never right, but it is right from a probabilistic perspective, which is hard to kind of see in your day-to-day life. But it means that we're able to quantitatively understand how wrong the forecast is and include it in the designs of how we control facilities. So we actually get very, very good outcomes. The forecasts are actually quite accurate relative to what's likely or not likely to happen. And so we really get quite good results. And on the, you know, the second part of the question, yeah, we are able to take anywhere that usually impounds water and create new flood storage by draining those facilities down in advance of predicted rainfall events. So there are, for example, in Houston, we found over 10,000 opportunities that already exist. These are assets, capital assets that we have already built that could be dramatically further optimized to reduce flood flows in Houston. But this is true across the country.
So you're talking about the ability to retrofit, not having to be incorporated into new construction.
Yeah, that's right. The biggest opportunity for us right now is on the retrofit side. We already have built many of the things that are available for optimization, but there is an application also in new construction. In both cases, the outcome is a dramatically reduced capital expenditure to address the issue.
So I know you can't tell me exactly what it's going to cost, but what's the order of magnitude for a city, for a Dallas, for example? I mean, are we talking tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars?
Well, just to give you an idea on the level of expenditure that cities in the United States will spend on these issues, there are kind of three that we address: water quality, combined sewer overflows, and flood control. Just combined sewer overflow water quality issues is about $100 billion of capital expenditures over the next 20 years. This is just in the U.S. And flood control, I think we have a pretty good idea that these expenditures are also in the hundreds of billions of dollars. So these are major expenses for cities, and people see these as increases in property taxes or changes in their water and wastewater bills. Or in many cases, there are actual specific taxes for flood control and for stormwater management, and that's kind of on the rise. So there are kind of existing huge liabilities for cities to address these problems. What we found is taking the existing things that we've already built and retrofitting those and optimizing them can reduce the cost for getting the same outcomes by 50 to 90%, which is a pretty incredible difference given the world we live in today, thinking about reducing these massive expenditures by that order of magnitude.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to make a green argument. It's quite another to make, you know, a dollars and cents argument, which I guess gets you a better reception. So where are you operating right now?
So our headquarters is out of Boston, but we're all over the United States. We currently have systems in 21 states and about 130 deployments. But you would see us in a lot of major cities and some in Texas. We have some systems in Austin and some in Houston already. But outside of Texas, we're in Washington, D.C., and New York City, and Philadelphia, Chicago, Kansas City, Missouri, Los Angeles, outside Portland, Oregon. So we're pretty diverse in where we've been able to apply this technology.
That's fascinating, and like I say, you've certainly got a receptive audience right now in the Southwest. Marcus Quigley is the CEO, the founder of Opti. It's good to have you with us today.
Yeah, we really appreciate it, David.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.